Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is former Erie County Executive Joel Giambra. Joel Giambra was a Republican hopeful for governor who did not receive the party's nomination, is now seeking the Reform Party line for governor of New York. Mr. Giambra has criticized both major parties for pay-to-play practices, which he says drive up the cost of government on the back of taxpayers. Mr. Giambra is pro-choice, favors strong gun control, and for the record, Mr. Giambra was a Democrat who switched to the GOP before the Erie County executive race, where he beat a heavily favored Democratic incumbent in a county where Democrats hold a 5-2 edge. Welcome New York gubernatorial candidate Joel Giambra.
Alan, nice to be on the show.
Hey, Joel, can you win?
I believe so. I think there's a path to victory here, or I wouldn't be in this race. I have run many times as a Democrat early in my career, in the later half as a Republican, and I am convinced now that both parties have serious challenges in the way that they've conducted themselves over the years here in New York State. And I think the voters of New York State are ready for another option.
And I take it, Joel, that you have gone around, done the same thing our friends Chris Gibson and others have done, and talked to the Republican leaders and said, hey, will you nominate me? And they said back to you?
Obviously, I had a very difficult time because I have supported Democrats in the past. I was a Democrat. I have some Democratic colleagues over the years. And I was a lobbyist for 10 years. So supporting Democrats was something that I did. And I supported many Republicans. But the Conservative Party obviously was not very interested this year in my candidacy, even though I've had the Conservative endorsement in the past. For whatever reason, Chairman Long decided early on that he was not going to settle for me as a candidate because of my views, I suspect, on ending prohibition of marijuana. Seems to have been a problem for him. Obviously, I'm a pro-choice Republican, and I am in support of marriage equality. This is something that Mike Long was not ready to deal with, I guess. And unfortunately, the Republican Party has been led around by the Conservative Party for many, many years here, I think, to the demise of the Republican Party.
Now, if you get the reform designation, won't that help defeat, not that they need a lot of help, but won't that help defeat the Republicans?
I don't think it's about splitting the vote. I think this is about the people of New York State being totally frustrated with both Democrats and Republicans. When you look at what happens in Albany, it's a game, right? And we all know the game. It's past the hot potato between the Assembly and the Senate, the governor. And, they all take turns being the good cop and the bad cop. You take everybody's money, you make pretend you're going to do something, you don't do it, and then you do it again next year all over again. So both Democrats and Republicans are part of what I call the incumbent protection plan, where you go along to get along. And it's just really an unfortunate game that's being perpetrated on the customers, the taxpayers of New York State.
So I was talking to somebody the other day, said, you're a pretty angry guy. Are you an angry man?
Angry man? Absolutely not. I'm a peace-loving man.
Right. So here you are. Talk about Don Quixote and the windmills. The Republicans won't nominate you. The Democrats won't nominate you. And you're going to the Reform Party. Tell us a little about the Reform Party.
Well, the Reform Party is interesting. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to look at their platform. It's pretty consistent with my views and the platforms that we're going to be advancing in this campaign. I think it's time to pull the cover off of Albany, end the pay-to-play and corruption that exists there, and begin to start anew, a fresh start, if you will, for New York State by having governance that responds to the concerns of the people. The Reform Party is supporting of initiative a referendum. I think the voters should have a chance to put issues before the public for consideration. I have no problem with that. I think we need to have term limits. We need to have turnover to allow for better governance. So we're going to be advancing a very aggressive reform agenda that starts with campaign finance, because I'm convinced, Alan, after spending many years in this business, that, you know, it's the pay to play within the box, not the fact that, like, Joe Prococo went outside the box and did something that obviously was criminal based on the results of that court trial. But I'm concerned about the stuff in the box, that the campaign finance laws are so liberal, allowing individuals to raise obscene amounts of money. When you think about it, you know, the governor has $30+ million. That doesn't happen by accident. That takes a well-orchestrated campaign effort to raise that kind of dollars. And that's done within the law. So that's where the problem is, I think, Alan. We have to figure out how to reduce major special interests from being able to donate, you know, millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, at the expense of better outcomes.
So far, I agree with everything you're saying. So let me go to another place. You mentioned that you were a lobbyist for a number of years. Who'd you lobby for?
I lobbied for a number of clients. I worked with former U.S. Senator Al D'Amato and a bunch of colleagues over there. And, you know, we were involved in trying to effectuate change.
Yeah, but who were those clients? I mean, Al D'Amato is not exactly a sterling example of a guy who was reintroducing democracy into the public discourse, and I know him quite well.
Right. I mean, again, you're looking for some of the clients. I represented the taxi interests in Buffalo. I represented some hospitals. We had clients that were, you know, a number of clients in various spaces, but all of them I was very proud to represent and speak on behalf of.
One of the big things that is coming up, of course, we want to marry what you did as a lobbyist with what your positions are here. So let me ask you this question. Obviously, a big bone of contention for a lot of taxi cab drivers, you just mentioned that group, is Uber. They don't like Uber. They think Uber is taking away the value of their medallions and all the rest. And I ask you this question, Joel Giambra, because I think it's important that we say, okay, here's this guy who did this. What's he thinking now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I also represented a company that's involved in the marijuana industry in New York.
No, let's go back to Uber. That's my question. Where are you on Uber?
Uber, obviously, Uber bought their way into New York State fair and square. They spent millions of dollars coming in here to, and the state, by allowing them in here, created a very unlevel playing field for an industry that's been around for a long time. And our position was, you know, from the beginning, that it should be a level playing field. Nobody's against competition. Competition is healthy for the marketplace. And the taxi industry, quite frankly, needed some competition because they had pretty much a monopoly over the years. So the idea here was to try to instill the notion that, you know, fair play was important. And that was the message we were delivering. And now we see that, you know, here the governor, again, was the recipient of a lot of campaign contributions. Two of his former high-level staffers, I believe both represented, one represented Uber, the other represented Lyft. So obviously they had an advantage. And as I told my clients from day one, you know, we're fighting with pitchforks and knives, and they've got Uzis and AK-47. So, you know, it was very difficult politically to try to stop it. And now we know the cause and effect relationship of that. So by dumping thousands and thousands of more vehicles into the streets of New York City, it took away revenue from the transit system, which I think was unfortunate, and it exacerbated the problem that already existed with congestion in Manhattan. And now the legislature is talking about taxing people to pay for the mistake of adding more vehicles without a plan to deal with it. So isn't that ironic?
So let me go further. My wife runs a tiny little one-room B&B over in Massachusetts, and the real estate interests are very interested in, putting clamps on B&Bs. I'm wondering whether or not, I mentioned my wife only because I think it's important that we always disclose, but what are your feelings on that?
Well, again, I'm all about competition. I'm all about a free market economy, letting the marketplace decide who the winners and the losers are. In this case, the government passed legislation to give Uber an advantage in that particular case. On the B&Bs, there's a lot of hotels that pay taxes, and then there's, you know, occupancy taxes that generate revenue into municipalities to pay for services. So I think there should be a level playing field with lodging also. I don't think it's any different than Uber or, for that matter, the food truck issue that's been a bone of contention for many years.
Just so I make sure that I get you right about this, we do know that you mentioned that you worked for the taxi people as a lobbyist, and you mentioned what Uber was doing, that they spent a lot of money to get certified. But on the other hand, there is a question as to whether or not you are committed to real fair play here.
I'm obviously very committed to full fair play. I've done that my entire life.
Okay.
And there's no difference now than any other position I've taken over my public career. I mean, it's about fair play. It's about competition is good, but fair competition.
Thanks, Joel. Joel Giambra is with us today. He's running for governor. He wants to be the candidate on the Reform Party. What are your chances of getting that nomination on the Reform Party?
I have no idea. The Reform Party is obviously going to be considering myself, and there were two other candidates that showed up at the debate recently in New York City, myself, and there was a candidate from the Libertarian Party and a Republican candidate for governor. We were able to articulate our views and our issues, and they will make a decision hopefully sooner than later.
Okay, let's talk about some other things. Cynthia Nixon is running in a primary against the governor, she says. There's a possibility Stephanie Miner may also. Could you sort of parse that whole thing for us?
Well, it's interesting that, I thought for a long time that the governor was going to get a primary from the left. Obviously, the relationship or the lack of relationship that exists between he and Mayor de Blasio is childish. It's humorous at times, and it's very divisive. So I believe that there would be a primary as part of this get-even mentality that exists between the two elected leaders. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's going to be a very, contentious primary, and it's not going to benefit the governor.
It certainly isn't going to help the governor, because he thought he had a free pass, didn't he, on the Prococo thing. He said very personally hurtful, and then it was gone. And now Cynthia Nixon's there. She's going to talk about it every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. The trial will be a major issue in the primary campaign. The MTA is a major issue. I've proposed a plan to deal with some of the financial issues over at the MTA, and that plan is associated with ending prohibition of marijuana, using the revenues to fix our roads and bridges, and the MTA for that matter.
Okay, so does Nixon have a shot at beating Cuomo in a primary?
Well, I go back to my sports days, and many coaches over the years from Little League on through high school said to me, any team can be beaten on any given day. So you never know in politics until the votes are cast and counted. It's going to be interesting to watch.
You know, when you were describing your political positions, they all sounded like Democratic positions, and yet you became a Republican. Was that sort of a marriage of convenience?
No, you know what, Ellen? I have been my whole life. I've been fiscally conservative when I was city controller and city councilman in Buffalo, county executive. You know, we talked about reducing the size and cost of government, consolidating water and sewer, merging city and counties. That was what I campaigned on in 1999 for county executive. And that's the message we're going to continue to talk about. We have too much government in New York State. You have 733 school districts. In Erie County alone, you have 47 general purpose governments, 29 different school districts. We're going to talk about reducing local property taxes. And I believe the most effective way to do that is by reducing the size and cost of government. So we're going to put a lot of pressure on local governments to begin to figure out how to deliver services better, smarter, and cheaper. Because local property taxes, as you know, in New York State are anywhere from 42 to 45% higher than the national average.
Yeah.
So we can't expect urban Buffalo, urban Syracuse, urban Utica to survive if the cost of doing business there is 45% higher than the national average. You have to reduce the local property tax burden. And we have a plan for that. And we're going to continue to talk about that plan of delivering services better, smarter, and cheaper.
Joel Giambra, you mentioned Buffalo, and you've run for office in the area. Andrew Cuomo put $1 billion into Buffalo. Has that worked out to his benefit?
I've railed against corporate welfare for many, many years. As county executive, we attempted to reduce the amount of subsidies that were going into businesses through these industrial development agencies that were doing deals just to do deals. They didn't make sense. They provided unfair competition in the residential and commercial real estate markets here. So those are the kinds of issues that I think are going to be attractive to the voters, and the voters aren't going to be concerned about whether it's a Democrat or Republican saying it. I think the voters are looking for somebody, a leader, to step forward and to be bold enough and brave enough to say when something's not working, we're willing to try something different. You know, the theory of insanity is if you believe you can do things the same way all the time and get a different result, it's insane. Well, Alan, there are a number of people in elected office today, both Democrats and Republicans, who practice insanity. That they believe they can do things the same way and get a different result. It's not going to happen. It's going to take new leadership, bold vision, and courageous people willing to say, let's try something different.
Let's talk a little bit about gun control. Obviously, Andrew Cuomo has passed a major law in New York State with the help of the Republicans, incredibly, who I think he controls in many ways. And he gets credit for that, doesn't he?
Yes, he gets credit for dividing and conquering. That's the way that he's been governing for a while now.
I don't get it.
On the issue. Well, you know, by playing off the Democrats and the Republicans, by the gamesmanship that's going on in the state Senate right now between the IDC and the coalition with the Republicans. They go back and forth and they trade issues and they play good cop and bad cop. And that's how the governor maintains some sort of control over the process. And, you know, that's part of the problem. Again, the go along to get along mentality that exists. It's not about, when you think about elected officials in Albany, they spend most of their day, most of them, figuring out how to raise the most amount of money to make sure that nobody runs against them. That, again, goes back to, you know, the incumbent protection plan that we talked about. And that's what needs to change. We need to figure out how to allow government to work without all the special interests involved. I understand special interests. I was representing special interests as a lobbyist, and I can tell you it doesn't work. It creates problems in trying to get things done.
I want to talk to you a little bit about whether the IDC should go back, the Independent Democratic Conference should go back with regular Democrats. Is that your view, or do you think something more insidious is happening here?
Alan, I am just totally frustrated with the whole idea of partisan politics and how it prevents better outcomes. So I'm one who thinks that maybe we ought to think and have some discussion about nonpartisan elections. When people are wearing D's and R's on their shirt. The problem in Albany is people forgot. You're there for as long as some of the members have been there. It no longer matters if you're a Democrat or Republican, because your mission becomes protecting the institution. And that's what happens to so many of our legislators that go there, and by staying there as long as they do, it's about the institution now. It's no longer Democrat or Republican. It's how do we get along? How do we preserve whatever we have? The Republicans in the Senate have been playing prevent defense for a long time, right? You know, from my perspective. And, you know, the reason that the Republican Party didn't embrace me is because of my views on some of the social issues. And unless the Republican Party is willing to increase the size of its tent, unless it's willing to embrace different ideas and different philosophies, they will continue to be the number two party. And some people in the Republican Party are content at coming in second, and they're not interested in coming in first as long as they protect what they have. And that's one of the problems you have, Alan.
Okay, you have the Janus case before the Supreme Court. It's a major pay case in impacting public labor unions, saying, you shouldn't have to be part of a union that you don't want to be part of, and you can opt out. What do you think?
I think that's a person should have that individual choice, whether they want to be represented by a union or be represented by themselves. I think that choice should be available to people. They shouldn't be forced to join a union.
Some people think it's the death of the labor unions in this country, especially in the civil service area, if you say you can take advantage of what they're negotiating, but you don't have to pay them.
Well, there's a question of whether the labor unions are still providing a necessary function in the workplace, right?
You don't think they are?
There are many companies that do not have unions that are thriving and prospering. There are companies with unions that are suffering. So it goes both ways. I don't know that people should be. I don't believe people should be required to join a labor union.
All I know, Joel, is that I was a SUNY professor for a lot of years. And if there wasn't a union up there representing my interests, I doubt that the state would have said, okay, here's your 3% raise or your 2% raise or whatever we're getting. The union delivered that.
Yeah, but you know what? I've also worked in government for a long time now. And I've sat in my office as a council member, as a city controller, as county executive with union leaders, municipal union leaders, who have said during a budget crisis, lay them off. They were not protecting the worker. They were willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater and let the younger union members hit the street so that they didn't have to give up or change their contracts or terms and conditions of employment. I can tell you horror stories about attempts we had in the city of Buffalo to try to make changes to work rules that would allow for more productivity, more efficiency, and better services to the customer, the taxpayer, and the unions fought it all the time. They fought that kind of change. And the Taylor Law in New York State is a problem that we need to put on the table for discussion.
It's always wonderful to have a fresh sense of and point of view. Joel Giambra has been our guest today. He's the former Republican Erie County executive who is seeking the Reform Party line in the race for governor of New York. Joel, great to hear from you, and we hope that you'll return.
Alan, I look forward to being on your show as often as possible to talk about these new ideas and new ways to solve the problems affecting the customer, the taxpayer of New York State.
Joel Giambra.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.